the wand, a puff of smoke, and the magic man pulls one out of the hat.
I still can't believe it happened.
Welcome to the Mirror's Magic Podcast. We're back, Xavier. I'm Selby, your host, with us as always, and back again. Xavier Ellis.
I'm the ultimate professional, mate. I've come in here. I've had a small interest on Chris Middleton to score 20 points. He's injured at half time. He was more than halfway there. But I don't even worry about that, mate. That's just water off a duck's back. I'm not pissed off. I'm happy as Larry.
Well, you've come in a new man. You left last year a bit disgruntled, maybe carrying one or two. Your hair was all over the place. You didn't know what you were wearing. You're drinking Cokes. You're eating pies. You've walked into driving an orange Ford Ranger, which you always like.
Ford, I'd like to just chime in there really quickly.
Never big on the orange. You've now today walked in with a beautiful matte black, a SodaStream sugar-free ensemble, a nice haircut, a pair of Crocs. You're looking a new man.
Yeah, I still drink 10 cans a night, though.
Let him change his spots. Well, you're doing better than me, mate. You're doing much better than me. We've come in this second time lucky.
Well, you got a new hat on.
We met here last.
That's the first time you've done that.
Yeah, that's because my hair's all over the place at the minute. I'm all sorts. We came in here, yesterday or 2 days ago?
2 days ago.
Forgot the microphone.
You forgot the microphone.
Oh, I forgot the microphone.
Yeah.
Come in today. Forgot the microphone stand.
Yeah.
Set up a camera.
Really?
Didn't press record. That was your job. That was your job.
I've set it up perfectly. It's better than what you had it as.
We're leading on Mar and Pa.
Yeah, old Nan and Pop.
Here we are.
No longer with us.
Anyway, welcome back. Thanks for coming along again.
Ah, pleasure.
So obviously the first pod of 2024. Plan is, like we've been doing the last few years, we'll be doing a few podcasts throughout January while this season guide develops. And then, as always, launching early Feb, or the aim is to launch early Feb. Once they kick in, the podcast will then be part of that season guide. But there'll be a few up here, whether you listen to it on Spotify, on Podbean, whatever it
Apple.
Is. Apple. We'll get a couple. So today's more just a bit of a reflection, learnings last year, what's happened in the off-season. Talking about the big new concepts and this round zero, which we'll talk in a bit of depth today. Obviously going to save a lot up the sleeve for when the strategy stuff starts coming out come Feb. But next week or in the next podcast, we'll talk early rankings. I'll go through my best 22 top six forwards.
Clary in it.
This year. Is he going to be there in Melbourne 22 this year?
Yeah.
And then we'll do a little player requests to fire out before when the season guide is about to kick off. So those who have already picked it up, there's pre-orders available now. $29.95 as always, 100% to charity. If you get the pre-order, you go in the competition to win a free in-season thing as well. So jump on mirrorsmagic.com while you can. Thanks to those who already have.
And, of course, supporting the same foundation again?
Starlight, yeah. Get around them.
Get around
Starlight. I think we've given 26.
For those who don't understand what a wish is or a...
Six and a half. So this is for season guide-wise, this will be our seventh season guide.
And I don't want to pump your tires up because I don't often, but what would that be as a total figure, roughly?
A bit over 100K over the seven, which is great for and good for us. We've been good for them and... The members have been a big part of that. But let's get into, we mentioned obviously at the start, the big curveball in the off-season, which has changed things, is this round zero business. You've switched off all pre-season, have you? I can tell by the look of your face. So
what do you mean, ever switched off?
Do you know that there's this round zero business?
Absolute horseshit.
What's the reason for it? Let's talk football-wise.
Well, start early. The NRL are out and about. So it's clear, both games are clear, or the games are clearly in New South Wales and Queensland.
Yeah.
As the NRL, I could never understand why the AFL allowed NRL to, because I watch NRL now.
Right, Hutchie.
But how could you possibly let them have a head start?
Yeah.
There's two codes in Australia.
And it's a long week, and it's a long weekend.
NRL, AFL. It's head to head. We're trying to break into their market, but they get 2 week head start into Melbourne and Western Australia and whatnot. Crazy. Had to go early and it should have been done ages ago, but I don't support couple of teams playing.
And the ones playing, that's to show what to boost in those areas which normally have rugby, because rugby's in Vegas.
Correct.
I'm pretty sure there still is an AFL, NRL game
in
Sydney.
They're not taking everyone to Vegas. They're not taking 16 teams to Vegas.
It could get ugly out
Shit
there.
Forward, come back.
But so what? I think it's a lot to do, or there's two reasons, I think. I don't think it's going to change a dial of how many people in Queensland and New South Wales watch football.
I disagree. Game. That's how I started watching NRL, was when I was sitting ready for sport to start again.
And nothing else was on.
And nothing was on. I was watching the NRL, and now I watch it every week.
It's also the new admin, and we're from WA. You are Vic Bias yourself. You hate anything WA. You hate the Scorchers. You hate any WA players. You hate Luke Jackson. Whoever it is, started early. But that's
factually incorrect.
Incorrect.
Both teams are pox. Both teams were absolute garbage.
We all hated it by the end of
the
week.
Yeah, everyone hated it.
But then the connotation is that there's Vic Bias. So this new admin have probably come in and almost a bit of a optic saying, oh, look, we actually care about you, Queensland's Dylan.
Yeah, no, but...
Kane.
Yeah, Kane. I hear good things about her.
Yeah. They're kind of saying, look, we actually do. We're a new admin. Getting rid of this. We're looking here. The main reason, I think, it's purely because it's an extra Friday night football, Saturday night football, TV rights are paid a big dollar. So, look, you've actually got another proper football game, and here you go.
Just play everyone. Put all the teams in.
Well, then let's wouldn't have that extra Friday night, extra Saturday night.
Just start earlier. Just have everyone in.
Yeah, but you'd finish earlier. So, by doing this, they've got extra... Anyway, what they haven't thought about is us poor old fantasy folk over here who are sitting there trying to work out what to do. So that what's come out, and you'll probably be across this by now, anyone listening, but
just make it nice and clear for those that may not have.
So round zero, which is opening rounds, football games where there's...
points up for grabs.
Eight teams playing. Those points won't count. So fantasy starts in round one.
Yep.
But because there's those early games, those teams have to catch up, so they have early buys. So in rounds two... 3, 5, and 6, there's buys. Two teams are on the buys. And again, this is why I say don't think about fantasy. Also didn't think about the viewers. You checked out post-buys last year after those 3 or 4 round multi-buys and the extra round with the other round. Just a drag. Now we've got an extra round. We've got 6 extra rounds of buys. I think there's something like 12 rounds this year won't be all teams playing on that 1 week. There'll be buys.
Yeah.
So with those, the Fantasy HQ and also Supercoach, for those who play that, have done that. It's going to be best 18 for when those teams have their buys. So there'll be only 2 teams on a buy, and your team will have best 18 for those, what ends up being, I think.
So what do you mean best 18?
So you'll have 22 on field.
Yeah.
Your worst 4 scores will drop off.
Don't count.
Don't count. And that's because otherwise... why would you start players?
What about me, who was a mastermind of the game, who would have had a strategy around that?
Well, you've got to make up a strategy around that. We'll make up a strategy. So otherwise, there'd be no reason why. Nah. If it wasn't best 18, why would you pick players who are going to have a bye in a few weeks when you still have to field your 22 and you're stuffed? So it's probably the logical reason is to make it 18 so it's easy to fit. There's a reason. The commentary still is that why would you still pick these players who... have a bye coming up in the first 6 weeks, particularly those who have a bye in round two and round three. But what has been built into it is that whatever they score in this round zero, that's going to be built into their round one price movement. So if they have a really good round zero, the obviously price isn't going to move. It's still the same price, but they're going to get like a double price change at round one. So if someone goes off to a
double banger, a Tommy Green.
Whether it's a... well, Tommy Green, we'll talk about those sort of different levels in a bit, but more your mid-prices, say a Taylor Adams at Sydney comes out, plays inside ball, gets a 110. So, well, he's priced in the 70s. He's going to go flying in price. Yes, he's got a buy coming up.
Will he even play in their midfield?
I want part of that. Well, why did he leave if he was not going to play in the midfield? We'll speak about trades in a little bit, but that's where the strategy is going to come in. The talk, and it's correct talk, that you wouldn't start a fully priced premium who's playing in round zero who's going to have an upcoming buy. Whereas you would start those who are value because you still want to get that cash generation, even if they've got the buy. You've got the best saying, you might even be able to trade, they've got lots of trades. My view on that is, well, anyone who's been listening for the last 7 years is that you don't want to start fully priced premiums anyway. So unfortunately what it's done, it's meant that now the more casual players or those who are still old school mentality of get the best players in each position, they're now going to be forced not to pick the fully priced players from round zero because of this buy coming up, when essentially you shouldn't be picking them anyway. You shouldn't be picking fully priced.
Well, how did Steele and Laird finish last year? Well, the top two?
Well, it wasn't Steele last year. It was Doherty, Laird, Dunkley. We'll talk about
Dunkley was the million. Did Dunkley start at a million?
Yeah, well, Laird did. They were the top in each echelon. And it shows each... And 1 year it's going to happen. The top price player is going to come out and have a barnstormer. But we've seen in 7 years it hasn't happened. So you might as well... One in seven might happen. And if it happens, I'll tip my hat and say, well done, premium, for going 120, then 125 the next year. But more often than not, you want to be picking those players. The next crop is going to come and break out. We had a lot of them last year. Going to be harder to find them this year. And that's why when... these first buys came out and the consensus around the community was, oh, it's too hard, no point playing, best 18, too easy. Oh, round zero, we'll know what their role is. We're all going to have the same teams. It's actually going to bring about a lot more strategy to it, because do you spend up on these players? Part of my theory about doing this value add and not getting the top dogs and taking a haircut on... well, there's back in the day, I used to not start with Dane Swan, not start with Gary Ablett. Didn't really work that period because they kept backing up
Junior.
To do it again. Tommy Mitchell didn't start with him. Rockcliffe didn't start with him, and hoping to get... and you 100% you're giving up 10, 15, 20 points, but hoping that you're going to generate the value to be able to complete your team quicker and go. And on the other end, by saving the money there, you might be able to have less rookies on the field. So rather than having to wear a few 40s and 45s, 50s, you might get some 70s and 80s, and you're going to catch up those points
there.
There's
those 10,
Because the whole thing is about the price tag. Your whole salary cap's essentially a price at it. The more players you can score above their price at, the higher score you're going to get.
Yeah.
The issue with all these best 18s coming in, all of a sudden it doesn't matter if you've got these shit rookies getting a 45 and the value of me hiding my rookies, and I'll go through with part of the season guide looking at past starting squads of the successful teams and how we think we'll structure up this year. But maybe you don't need a save and have less rookies on the field, which was part of chasing the value, because they're not going to count anyway.
It doesn't matter.
So maybe you do want to get those extra players, get the extra points at the top, get the captain.
So do you like this or not?
Well, for me, who keeps going copy-paste what we did last year, the strategy worked 7 years in a row, it's kind of the techniques work. This is a big unknown for me. So I like the fact it's a challenge. I think it's throwing a bit of a curveball. When we say traditional people, you just go guns and rooks. The tradition now, everyone has caught up to know that the value, hunting value is the key. So whereas now, again, we're at a point where we don't know what's going to happen. So I think I do like it.
Okay.
But we'll... a lot of dissecting, particularly you come Feb once the season guide's out, about strategy, what to do with that. What with these round zero, the one thing which has shown, there's no point even, or you put them in your team as a template, but you've got round zero. Normally we've got to pick off one pre-season game knowing what role they're going to play and if they're going to get the Taylor Adams. We'll know, not practice match, we'll see him in a real life AFL points. If he's going to play inside mid, James Jordan, okay, well they're in there. And everyone's going to pick him. So I don't like that fact that we get a free look at them.
Look,
I wish that there was some form of reward for picking this round zero, which we'll talk about at, probably at the end of the podcast. We've got a little teaser for some form of round zero activity going on. But I think it's really going to change the strategy. And what looked as if it's going to make it a dull season with all these buyers, best 18, team similar, I think it's going to create some chaos, and chaos is only a good thing in this game.
I'll tell you what's not chaos, Alb. I came in a bit earlier this morning. We recorded at the studios, Mum's house. And
perfectly timed too, lunchtime at the cricket.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, I haven't watched,
boys
I haven't watched much.
Pakistanis.
I have not much watched much of the cricket.
You haven't watched enough.
Nah.
Every time you watch
every
the,
time I watch a wicketfall. So I had it on today and I saw Marnus on 60.
Wait, disclosure though, we go, oh, I think you might have changed as well. I cheer, not proudly, for the Pakistanis.
Oh, I enjoy them. Yeah, no, I enjoy Pakistan.
And I love this little squad they've got going on too.
Yeah, no. Rizzi, I would just like to see them.
Salomon.
Just go a bit harder.
They're going hard.
No,
oh,
harder.
Oh, too nice.
Yeah, no. A little bit nice. But also, stop trying to snick off too early. Bubba, get out there and just play an ODI. Play as a 2020. See if you can peel off 100. Because you're looking beautiful, but there's one with your name on it every time.
He's always got a high average in T20 cricket that does
it
test.
He's unbelievable to watch. Look, Rizza's not mucking around.
I love Rizza.
He's not mucking around. But I came in this morning and you're like, meow, 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 is magic, meow, nerd. Mate, you made some changes to Mirror's Magic, AFLW, you dangled around those areas.
Oh, it's a season guide change. Season guide's going to be quite similar to prior years.
Yeah.
The difference is 7 years ago when we started, all it was data. It was stats. It was the stats I used to use, which is all about the price tag figure, looking at how they scored, breakdown from the season and whether they've got a role change, and if that's then led to a higher score, which then at their price tag over the full season, does that then mean that they're going to be good value, past history, how they rank amongst points per minute amongst the things. So an issue is that, which if you understood and could read this spreadsheet,
and you're a data man in life,
I am, but not 100%. Like I'd be a 7 out of 10.
Right.
There's far more data people out there, but if you understood it, if you're a 6 out of 10, you'd be like, God, this is great. Look at this. Bang, 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 bang.
Where would you rate me on the data reading scale?
It depends what data we're talking about.
Yeah.
However, those who didn't, they got it, thinking, oh, yeah, great. Oh, Mirror's Magic, he's given tips. And they didn't quite get how to work this thing. So then the next year was when the commentary started, where I'd write a comment under each player, essentially explaining what this info means. Oh, this player got a role change mid-year. He's come in price at 60, because that's what we average all year, but he finished the season 94, which would rank him fourth best. You know, so I put that in commentary. Mm-hmm. And that's all it was. Then you came along, what, 3 years ago or 4 years ago?
This would be fourth year.
And we've adapted with the times.
Yet to get him within about the top 50,000. You reckon? I mean,
that's right. You're the kicker.
There was one stage I was sitting sixth. My first
round
year.
Round one. Yeah, I remember that. Maybe you loaded up on Thursday. I don't know what was going on there. Anyway, so now it's adapted, obviously. Like the player profiles, the stats. A lot of it is a lot more readily available now anyway.
Yeah.
So it's more than just the profiles. It's now the podcasts, the articles, the strategy chat, the emails which go out. So the commentary and the player profiles are going to be a lot less writing, which saves me a lot of time to be able to put more time into stuff like podcast planning and things. In terms of the only addition will be the player profiles. I've got this pretty cool pop-up feature which we've come from the platform from AFLW. We'll speak about it in a bit. But you click on a player, it pops up their whole career history. You go through what year they were, then right. Shows what they scored in each of those games, who they played against, and what their CBAs and that were. So rather than at the moment, like my tabs have Footy Wire to show historical, what different years.
Yeah.
I've got DFS looking at stats. CBAs. I've got a few Wonksa spreadsheets, whereas this will be everything you need to know about a player's raw stats and scores and CBAs will just be on one click, and then you click another player.
What's the website I love? Footy Stats.
Oh, you love the yellow background.
The yellow background is the best in the business. And no
footy
one
tables.
Knows. It's Footy Tables, and no one knows who runs it. And it's updated like that.
But in terms of so that's come from the platform. So this AFLW, yeah, we put a bit of time and effort into this platform to run AFLW Comp. But again, shout out for those couple who played it this year. So we went from, well, let's save it there. Let's talk the main stuff now. We'll talk the actual juicy footy stuff, and then those who can switch off if they want.
So, no, you won't want to switch off.
off season. So
right.
What we've missed since I last chatted to you in a very lowly man in September, trades have obviously been and gone. And I think it was you even put the tweet out saying, gee, that could have been done in one day. For the casual, it was a very boring trade period.
Yes.
I think it could be the most fancy relevant trade period we've had.
No, but let's just get it right. It doesn't need to go for so long. I don't need to see these managers walking around with their shirts, you know, they've got the Barkley button undone, actually walking around as though they feel like they've got a bigger impact on the game as Gary Ablett Jr. had.
Big Tommy Seckles.
A big Sexy, good mate of mine. Sexy, shut up, go away. Just get the trade done in 24 hours and away we go. We love
it. Because trades obviously, all we look for in fantasy, how are they going to get upside from their price? Can that come from natural development? Can that come from role change? But a trade obviously opens up a change for that player in particular, but also might what be left in the scrap. So 2021, Will Brody, come from Gold Coast, playing VFL. 2022, came into to Freon.
Yeah.
Top six forward, bang.
How many years did you sign for last year?
Too many.
Yeah.
Jordan Dawson.
Four, I think it was.
Same thing, went from a wing half-back-ish from Swans in and out.
Known as kicking it beautifully.
Came
to
Adelaide,
yeah.
Top thing.
Yeah.
Georgie Hewitt, the one which surprised me, in an undertag, it came in.
Yeah, we've spoken about it every time. Came second in the best and fairest. That Sydney or one of best and fairest?
Last year was also very important. Obviously, Taranto never had a full proper crack with all those Giants mids in there. He came into Tigers, number one man, and for the first half of the year was the number one man in fantasy by a long way. Hopper also got the trade, which he wasn't impacted, but those who were like a Tom Green who got the opportunity and then had that big breakout season, top eight mid, and went from there.
But just quickly, that also sent Canelio back towards the footy, Josh Kelly back towards the footy, those
Ashdale,
sort of guys.
It might have helped that the coach half knew what he was doing with the new bloke.
No, won't have it.
Love you, Leon. Dunkley's movie, he actually was underwhelming, fancy point of view. I think it's valued at the Lions, but I expected more, but more the flow-on effect for Liberatore. I think he's played 13 years of AFL footy, and I know we don't not everyone cares about fantasy, but it was the first year he's scored over 100. And he had that concuss game in there as well.
Yeah.
We were getting tagged. Bontempelli grew another leg, played full-time.
Who knocked him out like that?
He got tagged by...
did Brayshaw get him? Is that Andrew?
No, Brayshaw did
Brayshaw
get him.
Didn't get suspended for it.
I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Gawn Grundy move was big because they were the top two players in the comp, and then they got
another outrageous trade. Max Gawn...
we'll talk about this year's ones, though, soon, though.
Bruce is the exact same. Yeah. As Bruce's career has hit neutral. Like, he must groom. Like, how do you think going to play under one of the greatest ruckmen of all time is going to make your career any better?
Can't play with me, buddy. Then Tom Mitchell and O'Meara, neither of them, I thought they'd get more output themselves, but it's more the flow-on effect. You saw Will Day come out and have an absolute star of the comp and was a great...
Smooth mover. Fancy. Yeah.
Newcomb also thinks. So, whereas this year, as I said, I think it is the most... It could be the most fancy relevant... To date, obviously, Grundy leaving means both Grundy's now finally going to be sole after what he was doing last year, and Gawn's now going to be sole ruck, which he hasn't been sole ruck for 4 years because he had Grundy last year and he had Jackson underneath him for 3 years before that.
Who have they got there as a...
No one. Shacky. Is he still there, Shacky?
You forget the Shacks, there was a pick two to Brisbane.
Brisbane, yeah. They'd wed Bulldogs. Mm. So no one. Long story short, no one. So, but... And this is where you got to weigh up with your stuff. Yes, his value, but he's got that early buy. How are you going to play that when there's other ones? Speaking of other ones, Soldo moving to Port would have looked a good move. Then Jordan Sweet, or maybe the other way around. Sweet might have went first, thinking,
did
here
you
we
see
are.
The Soldo video
nah.
with his girlfriend?
Nah, is it allowed to be spoken about?
Yeah, it was posted on socials. I'm just picturing you and me doing it with our wives.
Not at the minute.
No, it's ugly. Like jumping up and kissing each other on camera. And
a bit of Darcy. Darcy Parrish does a lot of that.
Yeah, full blown. And, mate, Soldo looks like a suave man.
I've seen him once at a bar in Sydney with his tash.
You looking good?
Yeah. So Sweet would have been a relevant one, and then Soldo came and took his spot. There's Harms who moved and looks like might get some inside time at the Doggies. Taylor Adams, a big one. We spoke about him before. Is he going to get midfield time? Why else would he moved if he wasn't going to get midfield time?
Who was that? Sorry, I'm just...
Taylor Adams.
It's very hard to return to a team that's just won a flag. You're not a part of it. The whole concept that it takes a team to win a premiership is absolute horseshit. That you will be excluded from... And it'll rip your heart out, that especially Taylor Adams was vice captain. Like the 22 up on posters, the Premiership Cup
but
you
this
see every
has
day.
Been you.
Yeah,
you
both
won,
sides.
At least you've won
both
one
sides. You'd yeah.
won one.
Yeah, but still rip my heart out. Still.
So when you're sitting there, and this is, we're not a humanology podcast. I still remember
2008. We returned 2009, and the first meeting of the year, or one of the meetings, it was like everyone was in there, 46 people. And then it was like, can we just have the Premiership 22 stay behind, please? And to get up out of your seat for Taylor Adams and walk off, it would kill you.
And the hunger, we saw it with, well, even with West Coast, how when Nat Nui, Shep and Gaffey
rips
all missed
heart.
Out.
It would rip your heart out. And I've missed one. I've missed one. So
and this is where humans, it's instinct. But you're sitting there watching, and I've had a bit of experience, not at the AFL level, maybe at reserve level at the Waffle, when you don't get picked in a final. You're cheering for the opposition.
No, I don't know. I don't know if I'd get that far.
You don't want them to happen. You don't want...
No, you just
in
realise...
In your head, you want... Obviously, you're like, oh, I'm a rational... I've worked hard with this group. I'm part of this group. They're my mates. I want them to win. In deep down, if a 50-50
No, it doesn't feel good.
That's the worst day
I'm not cheering.
Life.
Not cheering.
You're not cheering for them.
What did I say? It was like... What did I say? It was like your best... It was like your best mate dating your younger sister. You know your best mate's a good bloke, but you still don't want him kissing your sister. Something like that.
Well, Mills out for the first half of the year. That's some, but they. What surprised me, I put the tweet up.
Well, Sydney going to have to.
Yeah,
go
we're
quicker.
Not meant to go too deep into players here.
Well, straight away, I'll just tell you why I don't think Taylor. I think Taylor has played that role perfectly that he was playing at Collingwood, and he was
half forward.
Yeah, but then he could go in there when they needed a lift or whatnot. He's not in front of Parker. He's not in front of Goulden. He's not in front of Warner, and they've got. Grundy in there rucking as well. I know that's irrelevant, but I can't see them needing a tough, slow-ish player in there. Like maybe he might be the fifth banana that goes in, but I can't see him being sole inside midfield in front of
I love
Mills, Parker.
Well, Mills out.
I get that.
Mayor Bundy.
Yeah.
Parker, you know I love him more than anyone.
Parker's better than
us. Is it time for him to go forward and tuck some?
No.
Chad Warner.
The Chad.
The only Chad,
the only Chad who's not a stripper, by the way.
Oh, he might be. I've seen a few photos. 70-80% CBAs last five games of 2022. I've made a mistake in my season guide. That's a nice little update I can do here. 80%. Upcoming kicking goals. Last year, last five, 38%.
Yeah, who was filling the gap?
That's when they had Sheldrick popped up.
Yeah.
Goulden obviously had a bit more Parker.
See, Goulden's going to have to go inside. I can't see them letting Goulden roam around on the wings this year.
Oh, he does it better than anyone.
Yeah, but wait until you put a Finn McGuinness out there one-on-one. Yeah, it just turns into a foot race.
Which every team should be doing, you'd think, on Goulden. So, Rowbottom got a bit of time in there.
Yeah, so Rowbottom's in there. Mills
was getting more towards the end of the year now. He's going to get Papley. They like running him through there.
Actually, that's what it was. That used to pull my hair out. The first centre bounce, V, Freo, whoever it was over here.
Pappas.
They had Pappas Heaney in there and couldn't kick a goal. And Warner at half forward.
Warner was half forward. Anyway.
Just play your best players. Just play your best players where they play well.
I think he will, but we'll obviously talk more about that, whether it's worth getting him.
We'll argue about it.
You know more in round zero. James Jordan. So if you think Adams isn't going to get there, then James Jordan won't get in there. But he comes relevant because of the forward line, which we'll speak about. Well, let's talk about now. So the other thing with last year with learnings. Oh, a couple more trades. Zach Fisher going to the Roos. Is he going to get that halfback role where we've seen over the last few years? It's been a Luke McDonald rack him up. Then it was a Zeebel, rack him up. Then it was an Aaron Hall.
They haven't racked it up since Clarko's
there. Harry Sheasel racked
him
up.
Yeah, but he's a
well.
Good player. Very good.
Is Sheasel moving back in the midfield? Who's going to be that halfback faker? Is it Zach Fisher?
Yeah, it could be, but I don't think Zach Fisher's got the... He hasn't shown that.
Obviously, Henry's not going to be the one, but the one might be Chapman. Does he get his body right, start playing in the midfield? Caulfield, change of club, new environment. No. Your boy Jack Billings, you love him. One of these, two of them, three of them, we'll talk more about player specifics in the coming weeks.
Well, Billings at Melbourne, if they have no Clayton Oliver, they need a bit of forward midfield type of craft in there.
Which he was.
Yeah, mate, go through his games. There's patches of his games he was having 30 and kicking three.
When you sat there and said, okay, he's not going to be better than Bont, but he's not going to be an absolute disaster. Now you look back and you see that he got picked. The pick before Bont and Pelly and think what was going on. But there's a period there, you know the one, and fancy people know the one.
Yeah, just bear with me. I know the one, all right. You keep talking.
But what we've, the big learnings from last year and where it's changed, and one, we're getting throw up with curveballs, with buy rounds and round zeros. Mate,
this is just
averages,
22,
best 18.
This is in a little period here. 22 and 5 scoring shots, 30 and 5 goals, 25 and 1, 18 and 6 scoring shots, 30 and 2 scoring shots, 27 and 3 scoring shots, 25 and 5 scoring shots, 30 and 4 scoring shots, 25 and 3 scoring shots, 28 and 4 scoring shots.
And he's
that
now
is a good
forward
patch of footy.
In a year with no forward. So where this year is also going to throw curveballs, as I said from the start, I think it's going to be great. Last year, hindsight was actually a very simple, easy year to pick the players, because not only you were getting guaranteed players playing midfield, but you also had them at a discount and they were also the top six. They ticked all three boxes that you could pay up. Now none of them are forwards. So the top four, I think the top seven forwards from last year aren't forward eligible. So we're now going to have to hunt for players like that, like we did back in the day, whether it was 2020 when you had to pray that that Petraka was finally going to get that midfield minute like he did. Bailey Smith, second year, is he going to get in
wasn't
there?
Wasn't it deflating when you'd Taranto, you'd convince yourself he's in the midfield and then he'd be at full forward. And he'd kick three.
That's what fantasy should be about, predicting what this role change is going to be, who's going to get them. Whereas last year, Taranto, we knew he was going to play mid. Butters, Rosie, Dunkley, we knew they were all going to play mid and you could Cogs pick him as a forward. This year you can't. We're going to have to take swings. And does that then mean you start to pick the top six, and we'll talk more about this in the future, as I said, but do you pick players who you think are going to be top six, or do you almost think, well, it's too hard to pick, let's wait for them to pop up, or DPP to come in? Do you punt the forwards and just pick these value players, like you mentioned, the Billings, the Zach Fisher, who's off the half-back flank? But last year, and the learnings, I know we spoke about it just off the top, but value is obviously the key, and it's not just round zero value. You want value with all 30 players in your squad, particularly the 22, whether that's the rookies, the midfielders, mid-prices, or even your premiums and captain options, need to somehow know that they're going to either hold their price or ideally bump up in price. Last year was Doherty, who was priced at 110, Laird, who was priced at 120, and Dunkley, who was priced at 110, who we end up falling on because lots of coaches fell on because we thought we were guaranteed to be the top, but it didn't show. Those who did the best were those who picked those who had that breakout, where there was Dacos, 88 to 108, just a obviously natural development / more midfield time, and just a freak.
Just a freak.
Dawson, 101 to 113, inside mid. I didn't see that happening, but obviously that's how, when we're looking for this year, who's going to be the big breakout, how did these guys have a breakout?
If you could crowbar a player out of another club to your club.
There's a few.
Yeah, but Jordan Dawson would have to be
one of the Jordans, Degoe or him, but yes. Yeah.
He could have had to go. We spoke about you guys
that's
going after
the That's back when we used to solve life issues.
Yeah, now we solve our own issues.
Trying to solve our own issues. So his breakout came, obviously, more midfield time. Will Day, 61 to 95. You could have him all in the defence. His came from more midfield time. The midfielders are harder to pick that breakout because, well, they've obviously had midfield time in the past. Bontempelli was the big breakout, 103 to 117 to be the number one mid in the comp. Obviously, full-time mid after spending lots of patches up forward when Dunkley was in there as well. So many midfielders at the Dogs. He was a man who could be dangerous for, but gee, he was good. Very stiff not to win a Brownlow Bont that last year, I would have thought.
Who ended up taking home?
Lockie Neal. He averaged less disposals last year than like his 8 years prior.
Yeah, no, but no.
2020.
I would have spoken. I reckon I did a tip on this podcast. Yes, I tipped him. And people slid into the DM.
10 clearance
passes. 10 clearances and a victory.
Mm. Yep. Rucks last year was just a set and forget, knowing you were going to get the top two players when Gordon Grundy, as soon as they match up, Marshall and English were going to be the top two, and they were going to get their first crack at being solo ruck for the full season. English had those injuries the year before. Back half year meant that he came in price at 100, went 120. Marshall came in at price at 91, went 117. This year, obviously, you're not going to, or you might, and these questions will come, because neither of them have that round zero, have the early buy, but you've got value ruck options in whether it's a Gorn or a Grundy, both being split up now, being solo priced at when they used to have to compare with each other. You can go even lower to a Tristan Cherry, that was
my first issue of
last year, but then they kept playing Goldie, remember?
No, but remember, did Cherry got injured? Early in the game.
First game.
I'd made the switcheroo a minute before.
You can go back to that island.
No, I'm back. That is an island I will return to.
But what someone, I think it was Louis on Twitter, made mention, if you paid up last year a price at 91 Marshall, price at 100 English, and started Marshall and English, that's the same price at points you're doing this year if you were to start English and Grundy. So you allocate that same amount of capital and you might get that capital off in English, but we'll talk about more strategy in a bit. And then last year, the forwards were spoken about, it was too easy last year. Toronto, 96, went to 112. Gordon, 83, went to 112.
It was too easy.
Butters, 86, went to 100. Rosie, 88, went to 103. Dunk, 110, went to 103. And then Sheasel, the rookie. We've had that the last couple of years, these freak rookies who end up being potential keepers for us, Dacos and Sheasel. So the last few years, when you ask me, am I happy about these changes, rule changes, buys, I think we needed the challenge because the rookies have been a bit easy to pick. The positions have been easy to pick.
I don't reckon the rookies will be easy this year.
They won't be. That's what I mean. So this year it's going to be harder to pick them.
Well, I can't see Harley Reid making any.
Well, McKerch is apparently really good. The pick two from Kangas. Well, you know a bit about McKerch.
I know nothing about McKerch.
I like him. Yeah, so Calvin, one of the trader boys, he taught him in Launceston
Got
him on the show. He's a riff.
So is he a Tassie boy?
He's Launceston boy.
So they had a couple of Tassie. And they had that three boom, in the top 20. And they had the one that fell out the back, booming left foot kick, who was the big slider in the draft. Might have gotten a bit of mischief or something at some stage. I think he went to St Kilda, the left footer.
Yeah, don't know.
Oh, Jesus. I looked at him straight away and thought, he can kick. That'll do. Just anyone that kicked that naturally.
So learning from last year is what we know. What is the great excitement, I think, for this year is that we can't apply a lot of those learnings because we haven't been dealt a Toronto, a Goulden, a Butters, a Rosie, a Dunkley, a Sheasel, a Marshall in English at that price point. The breakout mids were hard. Like, the ones which I like to try to get on are those young up-and-coming stars who just break out. Like Sarong went 3 years in a row just averaging around the 90 mark. They went bang to a 108. Just took Mundy going out, a bit more time on ground, a bit more CBA.
Fitter, and could also the Ollie Wines get out. You could find a little bit of easier football.
And Tommy Green as well did the exact same thing. So come next week, we'll go through, or next podcast probably it'll be just over a week's time, we'll go through who I think current ranks, which as we know doesn't mean starting squad because you don't need a pick like there were back in the limited trades formats, had to pick a certain amount of keepers for the year and pick those top players in each position and hold them all year. But I'll be going through my top six ranked defenders, top eight mids, top two rucks and top six forwards, which is going to be tricky. But on that value, it's not always a home hit run. Millsy last year, how many times was I time to talk about Mills being cheap, let everyone down. Jack Steele.
Who was the guy you tipped Mills to in the car?
Oh, that was
at the tradie.
Yeah, good fella. That fella. I actually met him at the traders show. Took Miller didn't quite deliver when he was value, and then Domi Sheed was the value pick this time last year. Those who started with him would have been disappointed. So that's where this is good, hunting the value but trying to find the right and the wrong. Not all come out, but we'll be assessing them all in the season guide. With that, so we flagged it. So obviously AFLW, been doing that for a couple of years now, actually running the platform itself where we run the competition. It was going pretty well. I think we had like 4,700 play it season two.
Yeah.
This season, the AFL, which is great for the comp, more thing. They run an AFLW fantasy, put up a car and stuff. I think we had like 750 or something players. So it's a bit of a kick in the guts. Not many players. But we have watched then formed. We've now got this platform where there's still a lot of work to do, but we can now run these proper comps.
So you reckon you'll run a comp?
In it. So we're going to do something for round zero. We'll run a round zero comp.
Pick
so
your
rather
own.
Than everyone saying, oh, round zero, there's real footy. Oh, it's going to be a free hit. I thought this guy was good. He's ended up dominating. Now
so you've got eight teams to choose a round from or something?
Yeah, just round zero, one hit wonder.
Yeah.
Here we go. We'll put
high score wins.
Prize. High score wins.
A night with me.
Well, stay tuned for further announcements on that. But now even with this, we're actually wanting to make this platform a new age draft platform. I'm a draft fantasy man.
I am too, aren't I?
America.
I'm NFL.
Obviously, it's massive over in the States. That's how they play fantasy sports is draft. Yeah. So whether it's nine-category fantasy to make more players relevant, obviously in AFL fantasy, why would you trade a Tom Green for a Sarong where you know they're both going to sort of – it's whoever scores the most. But if you're – say you've got Harris Andrews and you're – smashing spoils, so you might not need any spoils because you're already winning anyway, or you might be losing anyway with him, so there's no point having him. You might be able to trade him for someone who's going to get you goals. So it actually creates a whole lot. Every player is relevant. So we want to be bringing in something like that. And then in the future, not this year, because it's a lot more complex than I expected this. We got to the AFLW, I thought, we're going to run a men's one tomorrow.
But yeah.
DPP, the rules between who to switch with who, the scoring system for different formations, having it custom so when you're
sounds
doing
easy
draft
to me.
You change different configurations.
You're telling me it's hard.
We've got a utility position on there, which people have always wanted for draft. They used to do it with Ultimate Footy where it's not a mid-forward ruck. You can pick someone on your field from any position as a bit of a utility.
NFL fantasy do that. You can take running back, wide receiver or tight
which
end.
People want and like, so we've got that in there too, but then the scoring and constraints around that's actually taken us all a lot more time and effort. But hopefully one day, maybe next year, we'll look into do even auction draft.
Yeah. I'd love a lockout.
Well, so depending on how the round zero goes and how it all looks and operates and the upkeep, as I said, it was a bit of effort. The women's one did it for 700 because it's free to play games.
Yeah, of course.
These fancy games we play. So if it's good and if there's a demand for it, we can easily switch it into a full season comp, which would be fixed lockouts, maybe a few little rules, whether it's an injury sub, if your player plays less than a certain percent game time, you'll get your emergency come in, same as your captain. So say if you had a Callum Mills, you wouldn't cop his three, you'd get the emergency score on the thing if you had him vice-captain score kicks in. So we've got a few, because we need to have all that ability to do the draft platform, the time on ground measure for emergencies kicking in. We need to have the, because some people in draft like rolling lockouts, some like fixed lockouts, some like fixed after the Friday night game, before the Friday night game, Saturday morning. So we've built this flexible platform where you can or we can as admin, if we're running a full comp, we can put lockout whenever we want, but also draft people. So we can definitely run a fixed lockout comp. Obviously, like I love, live and breathe both fantasy and supercoach. I'm not going to sit there and
where'd you finish supercoach in the end? You were tickling around the top 10 there. For, did you get a tracksuit?
Nah, top 11 get tracks. So I got a pair of socks.
Right. What's that, 100?
Nah, I think I was... I don't want to say the wrong number, so I'm going to say it's a 212. It could have been 160, 200, somewhere around that mark. But we'll go again this year, and we'll be doing... This obviously is a fancy focus podcast when Zave's on, but I'll jump on with some Supercoach guys to talk Supercoach as well, and that's what the one I will be playing this year, putting in a team, going through my trades that we do every year. So, Kate, stay tuned for that. But, yeah, thanks for all that. Thanks for coming, Zave. Sorry, a lot of info today, not much actual... deep dive analysis, but that will kick off from next week when we go through the rolling 22.
Absolute nonsense.
Then we're going player requests, season guide, bang, it's out, and then we really dive.
Do you know what one I can't wait for? Get your questions in.
Well, that's at the end.
That's
of the
always
season.
That's my favourite. When there's 8,000 pages, we've got to get
more
through.
And more, yeah. More. Anyways, Zay, finish on a good note. What have you got for us? Tell us one thing which happened on the off season.
What have I got for you? That's a really good question.
I should have given with no notice.
You know, there's like a radio segment. Am I the A-hole? Have you ever seen that? And they on Reddit or whatever, and they pitch what the situation was, and people judge whether you're the A-hole or not. Flying to Melbourne, Christmas. My wife, two kids. One of us was extending the legs up the front and drinking a Shiraz, and three weren't. Am I an asshole?
Well, if I did,
No, there's so many layers to it. I'm joking. My wife works for the Qantas Group, and there was one upgrade, and she gave it to me. So that's all it was. But I looked like a really...
Did you do that on Triple M, that radio segment? What about the commentators at the cricket? Speaking back to cricket, sorry, throwback.
The Augie.
Well, there's two of them. Firstly, it was when Indy got rolled.
Six for naught.
Oh, he's a good commentator too.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Ravi.
If you went out the back to have a dump, you'd come back... You can't be saying that.
No, but you can say that more than you can say the blind man in an orgie.
I'm a Kira O'Keefe man too, but I don't want to be getting him in the varsity.
The blind man in the orgie. He was on again this morning doing something. He was talking about the test cricket dying and you'd like...
Back to politics.
No. You're at the graveside of the test cricket and... I'll tell you what, there's a young lass there and it's the T20 version and all this sort of...
Yeah. He's good, but do you think about Kerry? He actually is analysis of knowing... Same movement. Like he reads it better than anyone. But.
Have you ever heard anyone call it a Norgie?
No. Maybe a blind man. Anyway, thanks for your support. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Magic.